The irony that Maximin was incorruptible was not lost on me. The patron saint of drunks and thieves, philandering borracho that he was, should have been rotten to dust centuries ago. Yet, generation after generation, he has remained, the flesh as unblemished as the day he died, incorruptible, perhaps, because he lived his life in absolute corruption. He got all the rot out before he was killed, so his body could remain ad infinitum. Well, what was left of his body, anyway. Maximon's torso was what remained, his limbs severed from his body in retribution for seducing all of the village wives while the men were out tending the fields. At least, that was the legend grandmother passed down to me from when I was very young.
"Keep your dick in your pants, mijo," grandmother said, smoking a cigarillo out of the corner of her mouth while she watched Murray Povich on the 12-inch.
An ash dropped off the tip and bounced down her breasts and settled in her lap. She brushed it away absent-mindedly.
"These pendejos need to make an offering to Maximon."
Should I ever step out of line, grandmother would pinch me by an ear and march me down the stairs to the basement, then down the narrower stairs to the lower cellar, our positions changing naturally from muscle memory as grandmother pinched my ear, and we went from side by side to single file to reach the basement reliquary. I heard them before I saw them. I stopped and waited on the path for the voices to come closer or move away. The man sounded angry. I could hear him berating someone, but the words only came in confused bursts. I wasn't looking for a fight. I scanned the tree line, toying with the idea of leaving the path to avoid the confrontation ahead. And then I heard a sharp slap and a woman cry out. Shit, I thought. I did a nervous check of the straps of my back like a tightly bound bag was the key to victory. And then I started walking, lengthening my strides in the hopes of appearing imposing. I was shorter than most men I met by a good head, but at least I was fast in a fight. They appeared in front of me as I followed the path. The man, tall but gaunt, was holding a woman by her upper arms and shaking her.
"Where is it?"
he shouted in her face, spit flying from his lips as he spoke. She flinched and turned to look at me, bright green eyes widening when she saw me. His gaze followed hers, and he let her go.
"What do you want? Get out of here!"
he shouted. The woman's eyes stayed on mine, not begging me for my help, not begging for anything. Her ample mouth twisted down in a pout as she considered me, blood leaking down her chin from a split in her lip. I drew myself up, tall.
"Did you hit her?"
I asked, even though it was obvious that he had. He ignored the question and took a step towards me. The house went on about the day's upgrades while the man took his shower. He couldn't imagine why this upgrade was any different from all the others and mostly ignored the lecture. By the time he climbed out of the shower, the house had finished its explanation, and the man had caught none of it, but agreed to hearing all of it, if for no reason, than to get the house to shut up. The house dried him off, and he grabbed the clothes laid out on the bench by the sink. In putting on his shirt, he noticed an unfamiliar smell. He pulled the collar close and sniffed again, drawing the scent from the cloth into his nostrils. He did it again, loud enough for his sniffing to be heard throughout. Then he flattened his shirt against his chest, looked up, and addressed the house, who took note that this was the man's first remark all morning.
"House, are we using new laundry detergent?"
"Yes, sir, a new detergent is being used, but it is in line with both your UBI's budget and preference."
"Why a new detergent? What prompted this change?" the man asked.
"Sir, is it not to your liking? It comes with a 100% guarantee. I can return it if you dislike it."
"Oh, I like it fine. It's nice. Too nice, maybe. Despite that, what prompted this change?"
"Sir, I do not understand the question."